You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Amen. Well, we have many. This is a good name of this city. Town is Wills Point, and I always think it's point of interest, point of relationships and stuff. You know, wherever you go, that's what it's all about, isn't it? And it's really getting to know people and to experience different cultures, different things in life. That's what makes life, for me, exciting. And I am a little upset that I can't share a song because it just so fits, especially this special trip. But I was thinking about, I might, I don't ever do this, but I might just try something because Amanda suggested it. And I can hardly function unless some woman's telling me what to do, you know. So, my wife, Pastor Joyce, not here yet, so I guess I just have to pick out the kids. Well, because if it's, I'm used to children telling me what to do because my daughter's doing that. She's my administrator at the church, and so I'm blessed. But I wanted to just attempt this a little teeny bit, maybe just the first little phrasing of it, because as Pastor Mike and I, we've been out, and Chris has been so gracious to take me around and get out in the country, and got rained on and everything else, but we haven't got a hog yet, but we're looking for one. It's got my name on it. I know it's supposed to be, it's on the face of this earth to fulfill its destiny. Unless I take it, it will not be able to accomplish that. So I know I have a point in time that we will do that. So this little song right here, it's called A Perfect Heart. And, you know, in such an imperfect world that we consider, in all the news media and everything else, you know, God is actually able to make a perfect heart. Can you say amen? And so this little song goes like this. Morning sun, light of creation, grassy fields, a velvet floor, silver clouds of shimmering curtains, He's designed a perfect world. And I'm amazed at His talents, stand in awe of one so great. Now my soul begins to sing out to the source from which it came. Bless the Lord who reigns in beauty. Bless the Lord who reigns with wisdom and with power. Bless the Lord who reigns my life with so much love He can make a perfect heart. Okay, well, that's a shadow of it. Amen. But, you know, this has been a remarkable year for me. I used to hunt and get out in God's creation a lot more. I've lived at a lake all my life. I've been with uncles and hunted and all that stuff. Moved away from a lot of that stuff when I went into the Navy and come back out and all that stuff. And got away from just the pure pleasure, not necessarily the killing of it. That's not really the main issue, but just getting out and just seeing how wonderful of a world that God really created. Amen. And I understand the devil's coming here to mess it up and stuff like that, but my Bible still tells me that He created us to have dominion on this earth. Amen. And why shouldn't we enjoy it? Praise God. And so this is a beautiful world He made. And guess what? He made you and me beautiful also. To look to somebody today, say, you're looking real beautiful today. Amen. You know, it's okay to say that to men too. You know, David, it was one of my favorite scriptures was quoted in the fellowship morning Bible study out of Psalms 139, verse 14, because in the book of Psalms, David had that revelation. Well, I hadn't had that revelation yet. And one day I was in front of the mirror, just shaving, minding my own business, and, you know, doing the normal things of life. And as I was looking at my own reflection, a thought came to me. Now, I know it was spurred by the Holy Spirit. And He said, well, that was David's revelation, but do you have that? See? Because so most of the time we look in the mirror, we only see our natural reflection. We don't really hold the Word of God up
and speak what God says about us. True humility is proclaiming what God says about us, not what our feelings, our emotions, and all the rest of that is having to do with it. So that day I made a decision. I'm going to start speaking what God says about me. And so I started saying, Jerry, you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. You know, and I'm not embarrassed to say that because that's how my Father sees me. Amen. And if I'm created in His image, maybe the devil's trying to mess it up a little bit. You know, maybe age is trying to mess it up a little bit. But we're not looking at our natural reflection because, as Pastor Mike was saying in the fellowship about Revelations, we're just starting to work on our eternal being. We're in the baby infant stage of this whole thing. When you think about, we were created to live eternally. You know, God never created us to die. He never created us to miss the mark. He created us. And in God, the God of faith, He just don't have faith. He is faith. He just don't have love. He is love. You know, He just don't have joy. He is joy. He is everything. And guess what? We are too. But we just need to find a place in the Bible that's recorded about us. Now, Jesus did. And He went on and fulfilled that in His life. And so this guidebook of life is meant for us to find our destiny, find our purpose, find who we are, and start fulfilling it in our life. And so that leads me to today's message, and that is on detox. Our soul needs to be detoxed. And I don't know about you, but this year right now, especially with all the political issues, all the things going on, we've been polluted. And our mind is constantly being polluted by television, by everything under the sun. And I'm not a separatist. You know, I have been known to go to a movie, even though my pastor, John Osteen, would have had a fit to hear that. You know, even though he worked in that and popcorn and theater and all that stuff. Okay, but we was raised in the cowboy movies and all that stuff, and we enjoy a few of them, but... you know, we don't understand that every place that we go, we're being toxined with the world's attitudes. You have to watch it because, you know, even at the gas, I don't know about you, but you can't go and just pump gas without somebody telling you how bad things are and blah, 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 blah. And we're all going, how are we going to do it and all this and all that. You know, I can remember always around here, I always remember because Pastor Mike and I would kind of get our same roots out of Lakewood Church. And I remember Brother Osteen talking about, you know, I don't care how much bread gets to. I think it was a dollar or something like that. Well, God, our God, can provide. Well, guess what? Now we're going to have to believe that more for gas and bread. Amen. So we thank God today for that. But everybody say detox. And, you know, our thoughts need to be detoxed. Our word need to be detoxed. Our emotions and our desires need to be detoxed today. You know, we get desires in the day and age we live in. We don't even know where they came from. Anybody, am I talking to the same crowd here? You know, I mean, just the fact that you listen to TV or radio or read the newspaper or any other thing, you pick up on this detox of the world or the toxation of the world. And so the Word of God can detox us. You know, right today, if I don't know about you, since the first year, it's always prominent right now. Everything in the medical world is all about what? Detox. You know, they got vitamins. They got everything out there. You're supposed to eat special fruits. You know, what is it? Grapefruit. Great for detoxing, you know. You got to eat particular berries for detox. You know, all these different things. For why? Because the body gets toxined by the foods and the different things that we eat without even trying. If you just try to enjoy something, you know, the next thing you know, you get toxined all up, you know. And so we don't even realize how much our soul is being toxated. I don't know, how do you say that? Poisoned, okay? So I got a little definition of here, toxin. Anything that poisons, anything that contains poisonous material capable of causing sickness or death. And I'll tell you what, we have an enemy in this world that wants us full of toxins. He wants his doctrine inside of us. He wants our, and it's so masked by other things that we don't realize sometimes how it comes in there. You know, being I turned 70 this year, there's taxation out there about your age. You get a certain age, you're supposed to cut back, you're supposed to retire, you're supposed to do all this and all that, you know. And the next thing you know, you hear every place you go. I was just before Thanksgiving, I was up cleaning my gutters, and we had a little break there in the weather. Yeah, because we had some freezing and some snow and stuff around Thanksgiving, and so I was up on the roof and cleaning that out, and guess what happened? My ladder went out from underneath me, and you know, anybody know what a skyhook is? Well, I was reaching for it, see. And I couldn't find it, so the next thing that came to pass as I was sliding was the gutter. Got that. And but the trouble is, my ladder collapsed on me, and darn near broke my leg. Okay? So I go to the doctor because it's all bloodied up and everything. And instead of saying, you know, without looking at it or touching or anything else, the first thing he said, at your age, what are you doing up on top of your roof? I said, well, I was cleaning my gutter because, why didn't you have somebody else do it? And I says, now, who, do you have somebody you suggest? You know, I mean, you know, well, you should hire it done. Well, I don't know about you, but my budget don't mean that I'm going to do that. You know, I'm going to go up there and clean it myself. So that's a taxation we don't even understand. Now, he's a nice guy. He's a good doctor. But that, coupled with other things in your life, will start making you start to think, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, and so how many other things? These are little objects that we can throw out there, but we want to understand it. So I've got four or five teachings on this through thoughts and words and emotions. I'll just pick emotions today because we live in an emotional world. And so we want to understand some things. Now, in Genesis 2:7, we read that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? Living soul. So Thessalonians, we see in 4, that God reveals that we are a spirit. Everybody say, we are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. I always think of it this way. The spirit is the conduit to the soul, and the soul is conduit to the body. Because, see, your body has no smarts of itself. Your body can absolutely do nothing by itself. Now, we know that Pastor's standing for his health, and everybody say, thank you, Jesus, that Pastor is healed. And we rebuke that foul spirit of infirmity that tried to attack his back in the name of Jesus. So, but we do know one thing. We were talking about that. If a nerve, the conduit between the soul and the leg, becomes injured, guess what happens? No communication. What happened to your leg? You could hardly walk yesterday because of it. Okay? See, so what would happen with sin, it breaks the communication between the what? The spirit and the soul. Okay? And so we thank God today that we need to understand how we operate. I was to the doctor here years ago, and I was looking at this body chart, and I was going, I don't know a thing about my body. I just don't know nothing about how it works, how it functions, how it should work. You know what I'm saying? And so I got a little interested in that stuff. But, you know, sometimes we need to understand how we operate and how we understand things. So we understand that then toxin is a sickness or a death to the soul. And so we want to understand also that toxins, toxic emotions then, is, I put it this way, another word for that, expressions of the soul. You know, how many, of course, husband and wife, we know that about each other real well. How many of you can pretty much know what your wife or husband are thinking? Or if they're upset about something. Why? Because through the body, the soul expresses itself. Amen? Expresses joy, expresses anger, expresses hurts, and all these stuff. Has anybody ever say something, you've said something, and you see the expression, and you'll say, well, did I upset you? No. Well, wait a minute. Your soul has already expressed itself, I'm sorry to tell you. You know what I'm saying? And so we realize hurts of the past are a toxin that tries to affect the soul to where we can't operate and function at our full use. And so it says here in Lamentations 3:19, I remember my afflictions and my wanderings, bitterness and gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. How many times has the psalmist said, why be cast down, O my soul? You know, you believe in God, man. I mean, why do we have problems? I remember years ago I took my grandmother, or my wife's grandmother, Javens was as much my grandmother to her, you know, and just a lovely person, loved me, and we loved her back. And she was visiting us, and we went to a senior citizen home to do a little Bible study with them, and we took her with us. And I was ministering on, you know, fear and things like that. And all of a sudden, Grandma Javis started crying. I went, my Lord, Grandma, what's wrong, you know? And she said, I have forgotten that my Savior was my protector. She said, I have been, and nobody knew it, I have been housebound. And I have not been able to even go out and get my mail because of fear. See, somewhere along the line, some fear got inside her, and it toxined her soul, and it enabled her to function. See, your body just can't get up and do any old thing it wants to. You know, I mean, some people will say, well, I just got to have this, or I just got to have that. No, wait a minute. No, it's your soul. Now, your body can react physically to certain things. We all know that. We know enough about health about that. But, you know, appetite. They're saying appetite is not, has nothing to do with the body. Has everything to do with the soul. You know, I can prove it to you. How many of you always get hungry when you're watching television? You know, that's the worst place. But most people snack at night because they're listening, they're bored, and all of a sudden they think they're hungry. You're not hungry. You're eating. How many of you have ate snacks at nighttime and was full? And you still ate it anyways? You know, it's like the donut. I came in here, I had a nice breakfast this morning, had my coffee, don't want sweets in my body, took some little sugar substitute thing there, put on my cereal, was really nice. You know, come in here and see that stupid donut. Well, that wasn't my body telling me I needed that donut. It was right up here. Amen. Oh, yeah, one donut, one hurt. I've been a good boy here today. You know, so, all right. Everybody say hurts. Hurts of the past can toxin your soul. How about anxieties? We live in an anxious world, you know. I thought we were at McDonald's and they didn't get our stuff out there yesterday. And old Chris, I thought he was getting anxious there for a second. I'll tell you what. I mean, he got anxious on us, you know. He didn't sin. Okay, no. He didn't sin, but he was anxious. Can you say amen? Everybody say anxieties. Mark 14 says, Jesus began to be deeply distressed and troubled in saying, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. I have seen people that got anxiety things literally clear. They say for heart problems, anxieties and stresses is one of the most dangerous things there is. You know? Even more so than eating some fries once in a while. Okay, so he said deeply distressed. You know, Jesus was touched in all our infirmities. You know, Jesus faced the same stuff you and I did, but guess what? Jesus did what? Do you think he just went to the cross in the same anxiety factor that we did? No, he dealt with that thing. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. And so we thank God today, without a goal, without a purpose, I believe that it causes us to have anxieties, boredoms, and the rest of that stuff, and it toxins our soul with all the propaganda of the Antichrist spirit. And so in year 2000, I started preaching this thing at the beginning of the year because I realized, man, my soul needed to be detoxed from some of the anxieties and some of the hurts. And how about this one? Troubled times. These are troubled times, and if we don't watch ourselves, Job 4:5 says this, but now trouble comes to you and you are discouraged. It strikes you and you are dismayed. Well, guess what? Jesus says, in this world, we're going to have what? Trouble. But he also told us, have good cheer, because why? He'll overcome the problem. See, our faith, what Pastor is talking about, coming to church on a regular basis, it isn't the cure-all, but what it does is brings you into a more positive atmosphere in your life. Because if we're not careful, our whole life, from the work scene to the time we go to bed, is constantly toxing us with all kinds of propaganda and thoughts of the devil on how things should be, what's wrong with you, what you need, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. I don't know how anybody survived. If they bought everything that the television advertised you that's going to be your help in life, you got one guy saying that, this beer will do it. You know, another guy said, the Marlboro man, he's kind of stopped talking. He has cancer in the throat, so he's not talking too much these days. But the rest of them are all telling us what we need in life to be happy, to be stress-free. Here, just take this drug and you'll be less stressed out. Okay, do this, do that, and when we wake up, I notice one thing. When I go to bed at night, I have to go to bed with me. Even though my wife might be laying beside me, I tell you, when the lights go out and it's just you in that bed, your mind, all that junk is running around in your brain. That's why it's good to detox yourself a little bit before bed, get in the Word of God, read some Psalms or a proverb or something like that, and just download all that junk. Amen? So you're not thinking about and dwelling on. You know, people have problems with sleeping these days. What do you think those problems are? A toxin soul. You can take sleep additives until you are stoned, and you're going to sleep. It's just like a rock. But you know what? When you wake up from all that stuff, today's a new day. You know what I'm saying? You got to face all that stuff again. So we have to learn how to do it God's way. Can you say amen? Let me see here. So you need to tell your soul, Psalms 42:5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I'll tell you what, we need to ask some questions of ourselves. Why am I cast down? Why am I all upset? Why? You know, Pastor Jody said to me years ago, what is that? Always ask the question, why, who, when, where, and... Yeah, say it again. Yeah, the why, the W's there. We need to ask some questions. A lot of times people, call blind faith. There's no such thing as blind faith. There's no such thing as blind faith. We know exactly where our faith comes from. Can you say amen? We know exactly what God tells us to do. We just need to do it. Amen. And so we thank God today. When we talk about this, we can really get into self-help. Get into self-help books. We can do all that kind of stuff. I mean, ran through a few of those things. And we can be like certain religious and think that everything is inside of us. And so, and we believe that. I mean, I feel like the walnut or the acorn, that everything's inside that to produce the great tree God has planted inside of us. But we don't know. I can tell you right now that I have some big oak trees right now, and I had to put some fertilizer on those trees because they were stopping producing nuts and stuff. And come to find out, there had been some water seepage off the road there, and the salts and the toxins coming in that tree. My tree started getting sick. Yeah. And I can sit back and say, well, gee, I wish that wouldn't happen. But I went ahead and got some of these stick things you drive down in there and feed the roots and get it healthy again because of all the toxins. So guess what? In the natural realm, we need to get some sticks of God's word. Can you say amen? And we need to fertilize ourselves with the word of God, because we need to counteract a toxin. We need to counteract, neutralize it, and it's never going to go away. It's in the earth until this great day of revelation that we were talking about in there, where the catching away of the church, a new heaven, new earth. That's all going to be wonderful. Amen. But what about now? I've always said it way back when, I thank God for the pie in the sky. I don't mean to be irreverent about it, but I tell you what about the here and now? So I've always been, I want to be in the here and the now. I want to know how to get through today. I want to know what I need to do to make it today, okay? And so we need to understand that. I'm going to tell you a few things, but before I can even say that, I want to look, have you to look at just John, because we have in this earth, you can get all the you can try to study the Bible, you can do it the hard way. Everybody say the hard way. You know, or we can do it a more simpler way by getting help. Yes. Now, my wife is in the roof thing proves it out. I should have got some help setting that ladder, okay? But we can do it the hard way and try to do it all ourselves, learn it all ourselves, go through the life of experience. I mean, you know, experience is a good teacher. Well, guess what? I don't think it's all that great. You know, I have learned a lot of things, but I had learned it the hard way. I could have got some help, maybe missed some of those pitfalls. And a lot of our young people today are learning from experience, except they're not surviving it. Young man wraps his car around a tree, kills himself by drunk driving. He's learned not to drive drunk. Too late. Wisdom is understanding of the Word of God, and the fool ignores wisdom, and then in his day of calamity crawls out and says wisdom, and wisdom says, I cannot be found. It can't be found after. It has to be applied before. So if we're going to be wise with the Word of God, then we got to get it in our heart before we make the stupid mistake. Can you say amen? Before we get so toxined up, we don't know what side of our head's on. You get to some psychiatrist or some place like that, they'll drug you up to where you will never know who you are. Okay, so got that all out. I feel a lot better. Amen. Did that in all one breath. Whew. What did I say? John. John. John 14, verse 25, you know it. These things I have spoken to you while I was present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you into remembrance of all things and of what he said. I looked up, you know, sometimes in the English language, I'm amazed on how much I don't really understand what a word means. And the word help is an interesting word. Helper or help, one who helps. Costa Dier, a good friend of mine, went on to be with the Lord now. But anytime you ever helped him or did anything, opened the door for him, he'd say, thank you, brother, for the ministry of help. It helps. Sometimes we have people in the church says we want to help, but they do nothing. So guess what? There are no help. See, to fulfill the word help or helper, you got to do something. Amen. It's kind of like love. I love you. Well, show it me. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, some of us husbands, we have found out already that when we've said, I love you, the wife interprets that, well, then you're going to help me with dishes? You're going to help me do this? You're going to help me do that? See, they just, a lot of times they understand help by action, not by words, okay? And so we thank God. That's a little marital help here for today. Don't cost you nothing. It's a freebie, okay? Helper. One who helps, aids, or relieves. Okay? Assistance, support offered in order to help, to be of use. Come on, everybody say, be of use. Be of service. So the word help is really a neat word because sometimes we think we're helping by standing by and watching somebody. Pastor was trying to get out of his parking spot yesterday, and there was a lot of people out there, but nobody was going, you're this far away from hitting that car or anything else. They're just standing there gawking. Guess what? They weren't helping. And all of us shouting in the car wasn't really helping him that much either. Okay. Everybody say helper. We can do it the hard way, or we can say, Holy Spirit, help. And he says, I'm your helper. And so he'll help us. You know, I do things like this. I play this little game with myself. Holy Spirit, be a tape recorder to me. Play back to me what I'm saying. It is amazing how I have to correct sometimes what you're saying. I say something, instantly, play back. Ooh, I repent. Where did that come from? See, if you're that hurt, where did that come from? I didn't have that thing. I thought that was over with. That thing will try to revisit you. You know what I'm saying? And we need to deal with that thing. The Bible says we need to pull down strongholds and bring into captivity every thought. Okay? So our thoughts are so important. Our words are so important. Why? Because we're in the faith movement and that's how we're supposed to do it? No, these are the keys of life. They're not religion. They're not this particular denomination. These are the keys of life that the Word of God talks about. And God wants to put words in your mouth, and the Antichrist wants to put words in your mouth. He wants to put hurt words in there. He wants to put discouraging words in there. He wants to put negative words in there. He wants to get you to where you're discouraged in life, to where you'll fall back and do nothing. And if he can't get you on that, then he'll start talking about your abilities. Well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're this, you're that. You know, you've done this, how dare you think you could even get up there and do that? You know what I'm saying? So that's a bunch of hogwash. We're going to kill that hog and make him sorry for what he said. Okay. Can't get out of that. Got to get away from there. Amen. Here's a couple things might help us. Remember God's faithfulness in your past. You know, David said, he was with me with the bear. He was with me with the lion. And when he faced his Goliath in life, he says, you're going to be with me with that. Amen. And we need to run to him instead of running from him. Amen. Face your problems. Face them. Don't run from them. Remember God's faithfulness in the past. Amen. Lamentations 3. I remember the afflictions and the wanderings and the bitterness and the gall, and I remember them, my soul just cast down. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope, because the Lord's great love, is not consumed. For his passion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faith. We sing the song. But how about speaking it in the face of discouragement? How about speaking it? You know, that's one of the things I love about the modern music today. But I tell you what, I remember back when we first got in the movement of God, and what we call the charismatic full gospel message or whatever, we were singing, great is thy faithfulness. We were singing all kinds of songs, and I can remember through my day of facing things, songs would always come up in my heart. Because there were simple lyrics that we remembered, and we sang them kind of repetitiously. We got them down in our heart. And sometimes, you know, I think we just change our songs so much that we can't remember anything anymore. Or we're not paying attention. I don't know what the problem is, but, you know, shanda danda danda don't get me that much anymore. You know, so... every morning, everybody say, great is thy faithfulness. I mean, we remember. I tell you what, I make a purpose of trying to read the proverb, whatever chapter the date of the date is. I've started that way back when. And it's amazing in your day how much proverbs will come up into your spirit if you'll read proverbs. The fool does this. The fool does that. I wrote in my Bible, I tell you what, when I first got saved, when I talk about finding it in your Bible where it's recorded about you, well, I didn't like what I found the first time I read it, okay? Because it said the fool did this. I said, oh my God, I did that one. Oh, the fool did this. Oh, man, I did that one. I just found out that I was a fool, you know? And I wrote it in my Bible. I am tired about being a fool. I am going to be the wisdom of God. Because the wise does the other thing. And I start reading Proverbs, and I'll tell you what, I start to make one of those foolish moves again. Ooh, no, wisdom does this. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Go over here. You know what I'm saying? So we just got to be tired of being the fool. I got to be tired of being tired. I got to be tired and fed up with holding bitterness and upset inside of me. You know, our youngest daughter passed away here. It's been almost 10 years ago. And Jody and I, we held hands in the middle of our tears, in the middle of our upset. And I said, we made a decision. Life is too short to be mad at any single thing there is. And I refuse to be mad. I refuse to be upset. I refuse to be aggravated and upset all the time. Because life is way too short. Amen? And this is our generation. This is our life. This is our day to take our next generations and show them how to live and how to be prosperous and how to be joyful. Listen to me. Stop. I refuse to be a grumpy old man. And I found out the truth. I'm an observer. I found out that anybody that's a happy older person was a happy younger person. If they were one of these real sweet older people, guess what? They were a sweet younger person. You don't just automatically get old and then transform into this other thing. You know what I'm saying? It's a gradual application and layering in life. And guess what? This old world wants to layer you, and it wants to chain you down. But our psalmist, he says, throw off those chains. Throw off those things that weigh you down. These are toxins that are trying to control you and kill you prematurely. I don't want to sit in my rocker chair in my old age and just, you know. I'm going to go out. You know, I'm going to go out preaching. I'm going to go out shouting, and I'm going to resist the devil. Can you say amen? How many plan to join with me here today? Say with me today, my soul, why be cast down? Remember God, because He's great and mighty. Amen. He's great and mighty. Amen. So listen to me. Whether it be thoughts, get into your word, find out some. I got lots of scriptures on thoughts. You know, I cast those thoughts down, bring them into captivity. Conform them to the Word of God. That's our challenge. You know, when I first got saved, I don't know about you, but maybe some of you might have said this, and the preacher said, you know, that I was saved. You know what I'm saying? And but then they would say, you know, I read in my Bible, well, we're to read the Word of God to the saving of our soul. I used to think, well, I thought I was saved. See? See, how many of you read in your Bible to where you read washing the soul by the water of the Word? Okay, washing and saving the soul. So I realized that even though I was spiritually saved, faith in God, you can't change it, you can't add to it, you can't take from it. But my soul is another whole thing. I have a responsibility to the saving of my soul. Now, to the saving of your soul will determine the how much you're going to be used of God. I mean, you know, I tell you what, we say a lot, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Okay, who you know might get you a position, but what you know will keep the position. And if you don't know who you are in God, your character will fail. And we see a lot of people today moving high up in the ranks of political, sports world, movie world. They're promoted and elevated almost to God status. And then their character fails because why? That's not who they are. I want to live who I am. If I be in Christ, He's the hope of glory. Can you say amen? So we thank God today. I love the Word of God. I preach a lot in prisons and jails because I love it, because the Word of God makes the playing field even. That's why there don't have to be no jealousy. That's why there's none of that stuff. This is an open field. You determine what you want in life. Amen? If we have choices, then I'm going to choose to be successful. Well, okay, I choose it. But the word chose means I'm doing something in line with that. Amen? I can't just choose a profession. I'll just choose to be a doctor. Well, I'm not going to go to education school like Doc over here. I'm not going to do that like the doctrine profession. I just want to be a doctor, so I've chosen to be a doctor, so I'm going to be a doctor. Well, you can go to jail for that one. You know, one time I chose to be a semi driver. So I applied for the job, and the guy says, you drive truck? Yeah, I was driving a bread truck. I didn't lie, but I wasn't trained in being a semi driver. And I found out driving a semi and driving a bread truck is two different things. You know what I mean? And so I didn't get in a lot of trouble, but I ruined a couple trucks before I learned good. You know, so anyways. I was driving down the road. What's wrong with this truck? I know it should go faster than that. So I'm going, I'm looking down here in the shifter. It's got this little red knob. I wonder what that little red knob is. Clunk. Oh, man, it's high. Okay, good. So some of you don't know what they're talking about. They're split shifts, you know, and I didn't know what that was. So anyways, we learn, don't we? We learn. Cry out to God. Cry out to God in the present. You know, a lot of people cry out to God when it gets real bad. Now, I cry out to God instantly. You know what I'm saying? Psalms 42, I got just one more and then we'll be done. Pour out your complaint before Him. Psalms 142, verse 2. It's in the NIV. my computer program right now, if I don't watch it, the darn thing will switch always back to NIV. And I like the New King James. But anyways, I pour out my complaint before him. Before him, I tell my trouble. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. You know, God don't mind you saying what your need is to him. But we, like the psalmist here, he didn't just leave it there. He said, you're my God. I'm crying out to you because why? I know that you hear my cry. You may say, you know, so if we cannot let the devil say anything could separate us from his love. We can't let a mistake or something else say to me that I can't cry out to God. No, I can cry out to God. You know, I cried out to God right there, man. Anytime I come, I know I'm going to have to preach or something like that, I cry out to God. Man, I want you to know, I'm saying, Lord, I thank you today, the blood of Jesus. Thank you today, you cleanse me. I'm righteous enough to come and speak to these wonderful people. You know, I know what I am. You know what I'm saying? I know I need help. I need God all the time in my life. And I'm going to cry out to him. Because I've been in a position in life where I didn't know a God to cry out to. Amen. And I was left to my own understanding. I was left to my own thinking. Stinking thinking gets you in a lot of trouble. You know what I'm saying? I used to think that every thought that came through my head was me. Now I know the difference. Some dingbat thought comes through my head, I cast it down. I don't know where a thing comes from. I don't care where it came from. It came from hell, it's going back to hell. You know what I'm saying? I know the difference between a God thought and a devil thought. Now, how do you know that, Pastor? I read my Bible. I found out me don't think that way. That's not me. That might be many me. But that ain't me. I know who I am. I don't think that way. And I know what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. I don't do those kind of things no more. Amen? Why? I know they hurt. See, I used to do things I didn't know they hurt. Because why? I was so into myself, I didn't know about anybody else. You know what I'm saying? I was raised lovely, had a wonderful family, treated me good, and I was spoiled. Okay? Yeah, get over it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, my daddy spanked me one time. It didn't ruin me for life. It helped me along, didn't it? You know? He drove out the spirit of rebellion, or tried to anyways. All right. One last one. First one. Remember God's faithfulness to the past. Cry out to God in your present, and then trust God's power for the future. For God, in Hebrews 8:13, he is the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. Can you say amen? So we thank God in 2 Chronicles, be strong, be courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. That's 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7. Be strong. I love that one. Be strong, be courageous. We need to be strong and courageous in the day we live in today. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this king and the vast armies. Which, see, there's a name out there, the devil or this or that, and it tries to say it's a big army and we're going to fail. Nah, there's more for us than against us. Can you say amen? Why ponder that junk? For there is great power with us than with them. With them, he is only the arm of the flesh. But with us, the Lord is a God of help and will fight our battles. Amen? Yes. Let me tell you what. How many have tried to do something in the flesh? Fails miserably. Amen? Why trust in the hand of our flesh? That's what I'm saying. The body. The body don't do nothing. Cursed is the man that believes in the strength of his own right arm. Amen? When you're young, you're all full of vinegar and all that stuff, you know. And I tell you what, guess what? You just think you can just do anything and pay for nothing. They used to tell me, don't jump out of the back of those trucks and stuff like that. You'll hurt yourself. I knew what they're thinking now. Just go ahead, dude. You'll find out. Hey, you live long enough, you'll find out why I'm telling you not to jump off the back of them trucks. You know, but nobody could tell me. Probably nobody could tell you. But you know what? Finally, I got saved, 1974. And I'll tell you what, I started looking to the book of wisdom, changed my life. Can you say amen? Would you bow your heads with me today? Toxins. I break the power of toxins over our lives, over the media, over every opportunity. You can't drive down the street without seeing a sign or a thing or talk in the grocery store or any place without getting these toxin thoughts and toxin attitudes and angers and upsets. And then our own families, we have misunderstandings. And the next thing you know, those things will try to control us, break our relationships. Father, I thank you today. We look to your word. Lord, I thank you today. We're not looking just for a miracle that we have no part in. But Lord, when it comes to the soul, we have an active part in this miracle of changing what we think, how we talk, how we let our emotions swing. Well, I know hormonal things, but Lord, I thank you today. You're the God of purity and honesty, and we can overcome any obstacle that this life has with us. Father, I thank you today right now. Father, I pray for this great congregation, their life and their love, Lord, and that they'll see from you that your word neutralizes the toxins of the devil, and we become detoxed and usable and healthy for you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. And amen.